Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing, okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo!
Greetings, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yin's Love, Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 12, titled Rabid Dog.
did you like that sound effect?
Did you cue your dog to bark when I said that?
I did not cue my dog to say that. It's really funny that that just happened.
Oh, so that was what you call serendipitous.
Yes, that was.
But your dog is not rabid.
No, my dog is not rabid, but that was excellent on his part. Good job.
Your dog stole your thunder, so let's properly introduce you.
He's on the Fast Podcast now, officially.
This is Siddharth Kumar, and how should we intro you? What is your professional expertise?
I think in the context of podcasts and also Jim Shearer, I think my expertise is going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins and Breaking Bad. I think those are the only two avenues I can really.
Okay. But professionally, you're also doing your thing, so don't sell yourself short. But Sid,
sure.
not just a Penguins aficionado, but aficionado of the sport of hockey. And then I was happily surprised to find out that I got a text from you last week, and you said that not only did you listen to my podcast, but you're a huge Breaking Bad fan. And I said, well, come on, Sid, because our first date happened during a web show.
That's correct.
Should we tell people about it?
Sure. I think the synopsis is best, because that web show has quite a bit of detail.
It's called Yin's Love to Gwyn's, and this happened in 2009, was it?
This was 2009. I can actually pull up the exact date.
So while you do that, let me give some context here. Sid was the were you the president or the organizer of Penn's Meetup NYC?
I was one of the many organizers.
Yeah, of the organizers. So we would get together at a New York City bar and watch Penguin games. The Penguins were in a series with the Flyers. We could have wrapped it up. We lost to the Flyers. Everyone in the bar was very depressed. And then I looked around and said, okay, well, I'm going to go to the game tomorrow in Philly. Anyone else want to come? Nobody raised their hands except you.
That's correct.
And I said, well, okay, we're going to go to the game, but by chance, do you have a car? And you said, oh, yeah, I have a car. And then from there, I met you in Hoboken. We drove to the game, and I let you know. And this is where the friendship blossomed. I said, okay,
right.
This is the first time that we're bonding, but just to let you know, you have to pose as a Russian cameraman, and I'm going to pose as a Russian sports reporter, and we are going to interview angry Philadelphia Flyer fans. But I also said, if you're not comfortable with this, then you just go off to the side, but I need to do this, and I'm going to pretend to be a Russian sports reporter regardless.
And by the way, I think you did a great job that day, because I was very excited about the opportunity, but I knew that my Russian impersonations were not going to be very good.
But
I tried to be as quiet as I could, being a cameraman.
But at the end of the day, I think your Russian accent was actually better than mine.
You know, when you only speak two words the whole time, maybe you're right.
Right. I had fake Russian accent fatigue, and you were fresh.
I was fresh, yes.
But I knew we were going to be friends, because when I presented you with this plan, you nodded your head, and you're like, all right, yeah, I'm down. And I said, oh, okay, this is going to work out wonderfully. And it has.
It has.
And now I've roped you in. I was going to say, I roped you in into another one of my side projects.
That's correct.
All right. So.
And my dog.
Your dog. Sid has a beautiful wife. And Sid is about. And before we start the podcast, can we just say that you started the night off on a very classy foot? Can you tell everyone? Can you tell everyone what you had for dinner tonight?
Yes, I actually had chicken frittata. I made chicken frittata. I also made a mango avocado salad.
Wow!
So I was laboring on Labor Day.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of people on Labor Day eat hot dogs and baked beans, but Sid, he steps it up.
Yeah, I stepped it up today. Absolutely.
So I hope you bring some of that class to Yin's Love tonight.
You got it.
Okay.
No problem.
So let's get on with Rabid Dog. I believe this is episode 12. Before we get into the recap, there's a lot of before we get into it tonight. I was at a party last night in the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We were sitting around a fire pit. It was around 8:40, and we looked at each other and we said, "Well, what do we do? Do we watch the 9 o'clock showing?" And I thought to myself, "Well, I can't stay up for the midnight showing." But you told me it was 11:35. Anyway, I couldn't stay up because I needed to wake up at 6 to get on the road to get back to New York City. So I came up with this great idea to bring the laptop out to the fire pit and find an AMC live streaming on the computer. So we got AMC on the computer, and I never did the what's it called, the double experience, the double screen experience.
That's right, the story sync, as they call it.
Yeah, the story sync. I don't think you can watch Breaking Bad online. I think you watch it at home on your TV and then you do stuff on your computer. So I got a pirated site online. It was playing AMC, and then at 9 o'clock, wouldn't you know, it froze.
Oh, man.
So then I said, okay, everybody run into the house. So there was 7 or 8 of us. We ran into my wife's parents' house. They were very nice to accommodate us. We missed the first 2 minutes. So at the commercial break, I called Professor D, also a close friend to the Yin's Love franchise, and he filled me in. And he basically said, "Oh, Walt was walking through the house. Walt did this." I'm like, "So we never saw Jesse yet." He's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, whew, we're caught up to speed." And then I proceeded to watch the rest of the episode. You had a similar experience, sans the fire pit.
That's correct. So I was actually out having dinner, and I was expecting to be home for the 9 p.m. showing. But it ended up being longer, and I was freaking out. But then I said, "Okay, fine. I will watch the 11 o'clock showing. I'm okay with that." But then we ended up getting home around 11:15, so I figured I missed that one too. but then I realized that Talking Bad was actually on at the time, so the Breaking Bad recap or rerun would not actually come on till 11:35.
So it is
very excited. I'm good to go.
Okay, so it is on at 11:35, not midnight?
That is correct.
Okay.
11:35 and not midnight. Yep.
And to let everyone know, if this happens to you, and it was a crazy weekend, it was Labor Day weekend, but if this happens to you, I believe AMC has the on-demand feature on Monday morning. So it doesn't make, even if your DVR kaputs. Now, is this incorrect?
I think this is incorrect. I think they have on-demand for maybe one of the episodes, maybe the start of the season.
Really?
But I do not think they have on-demand for free. However, if you use Amazon Instant Video and you subscribe for a season pass, you will get the episode at 5 a.m. the next day.
There you go.
So it's in between somewhere. So just don't look at Twitter.
My goodness.
Yeah. Don't talk to anyone. Take a day off from work. don't get into any elevators.
Right.
Because if you're prone to knowing what the story was. And you really just don't want to do that.
So what
my suggestion is you get up at 5 a.m., you wait for that Instant Video to show up, and you watch it, and then you start.
Then you go to work. I have a bone to pick with last week's guest, Mark Laux, fellow Yenzer. At the end of the episode, he said, "All right, everybody, from here on in, you've got to watch the 9 o'clock showing on Sunday night because everybody will be talking about it. it's online, social media, blah, blah, blah. He also predicted that there might be some old Yeller action in this episode. So Saul Goodman in the car, he brings up old Yeller. So what do? I text Mark Laux, and then he texts me back 5 minutes later, all in capital letters, "I haven't watched yet." I'm like, come on, you just preached to the world that everyone should watch at 9 o'clock on Sunday nights. Fortunately, though, I did not ruin anything for Mark because they did not go old Yeller style on Jesse last night.
That is correct. And another rule that I have is that I just will not text anybody about it at all until like Monday night. Just in case they've had the same issue. It's worth waiting.
Because, I follow that rule too. I don't text, but because he preached to everyone, I thought...
Yeah, I think you get a mulligan on this one because this was just a glaring thing.
So, Mark, shame on you. You should be watching live. All right, now, finally, to the recap. I missed the first 2 minutes, but I didn't miss much. Walt's in the house looking for Jesse. Jesse's not there. Go to commercial. We come back. A lot of gasoline smell in the White House. Walt has the carpet cleaners come. They clean it one time, two times. He's like, please, you got to get the... I can still smell it. Carpet cleaner guy says, listen, I would love to take your money, but the thing is, you need to get new carpet. We could clean this 20 times, and it's still going to smell like gasoline. Walter goes on his lying spree with Walt Jr. and Skyler. Skyler obviously does not buy it. Walt Jr. doesn't buy it either. And then
this was actually a key moment for me personally because, you know, there were a lot of theories as to why Jesse didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And one of them was that he ran into Walt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And so this scene right here just threw that out the window.
Yeah, because the people I were watching, the people I was with in my wife's parents' house, they said, I thought he was going to run into Flynn or Holly. No, that did not happen. Flynn does say, I should say Walt Jr. because he's on good terms with his parents now. He says, I know that didn't happen, Dad. You fainted because of the cancer. And he's like, all right, you got me. Let's go to a hotel. And Walt is such a convincing liar. He said, you know what? The fumes are bad and Holly really shouldn't be here. And I thought to myself, yeah, if you have a young baby, they shouldn't be around gasoline fumes. I wasn't even thinking that he needs them all out of the house in case Jesse comes back. See, Walt is such a great liar. He's even convinced me. So they go to continue.
His technical skills are fantastic. What can we say?
Wait, say that one more time.
Sorry, his technical skills are fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
What can we say? He's got an explanation for mostly every situation.
He's convinced me several times. So they go to a plush hotel. I believe Skyler right now, since they gave the testimony to Hank and Marie, they can live like this now. They can live large in hotels like this.
Absolutely.
Walt goes out to the car. Well, he makes it look like he's going to get ice. He goes out to the parking lot. He meets with Kubi and Saul. They discuss the game plan. This is where Saul mentions old Yeller. Walt says, listen, I will not hear of this. Jesse is off limits. Walt goes back to the hotel. Skyler says, hey, listen, I saw ya. You were spying on me. Yeah, I was spying on you. Enough with this. Walt comes clean to Skyler. She's like, he was gonna burn our house down? Yeah. Well, he didn't, though. He didn't burn our house down. And then Skyler, talk about breaking bad. She's like, we got to deal with him. She wants Jesse gone.
I thought this whole scene was great because there were a lot of great things that occurred, right? So one is that Skyler is snooping on him, right? So even though Walt has lied repeatedly in the past to Skyler, but then finally they've decided, okay, we're going to go all in on this. He's still lying, like he's not telling her everything. So that's one. Then two, you have Walt who's, you know, trying to explain the Jesse situation, and he starts off with like, you know, this is not a big deal, but, and then it ends up being like he tried to burn our house down, but he prefaces it with it's not a big deal.
Because he said he tried to, but he didn't. There's a reason. If he wanted to, he would have, but he didn't. So there's a reason he didn't. Skylar at this point is so broken. Her life has been flipped, turned upside down. Well, that sounds like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air right there. And
that's true.
She says, what's one more dead person? Okay. If we get rid of Jesse, maybe we'll have a normal life, whatever normal is now. And Walt's like, what? You want me to kill Jesse? So this is Saul wants Jesse killed, and now Skyler wants Jesse killed. So then we see what actually happened to Jesse last week. Turns out Hank was following him. Hank follows him into the White House. He has his gun drawn, and he's like, I don't want to kill you, Jesse. Listen, we can make a deal. And then finally, Jesse makes a deal with Hank. Then we have Marie in her therapist's office. Found it very interesting that she was talking about a shellfish paralysis. Sounds like what would happen if you took a capsule of ricin, maybe?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm.
She's like, it just makes me feel good to think about it. Marie comes home. She sees her purple suitcases. She's like, what's going on here? Hank's like, just come on, get out. She sees Jesse there, and then she asks Hank, will this be bad for Walt? Oh, yeah, it'll be bad for Walt. She's like, well, I'm staying. So Jesse is a house guest at Hank and Marie's house. And did you catch the part where she said, now this is insider Breaking Bad. She said she was going to warm up some lasagna.
This actually, I saw it. I wish I had known, but I actually don't know what she was referring to.
Let me break it down for you. I believe, well, this is actually the second reference to the Walt, Skyler, and Jesse dinner, the very uncomfortable dinner they had where Jesse was raving about the green beans. Jesse said, I can't stand when they do the lasagna and that cheese. It's like, bleh. So when Walt was in the hotel with Skyler, he's like, remember, Jesse, you came over for dinner? And then Marie said, oh, I'm going to warm up some lasagna. And in my head, I thought, Jesse, unless that's homemade lasagna, Jesse's probably not going to like it, especially if you warm that up in the microwave. So Jesse is at Hank and Marie's house. And then we have a scene where Jesse enters the room. Hank is in the room and Gomi is in the room.
This scene blew my mind. I mean, this is the first time that someone on the police force knows, right? Other than Hank.
For a second there, I thought, well, Gomi will have to know. And if he doesn't know, he's going to find out in about 10 minutes. And I find it very interesting that they didn't show the reveal when Hank went to Gomez and he said, listen, my brother-in-law is Heisenberg.
It's hard to say whether he actually did that. Maybe he just told Gomi to come over. I don't know. He's left that one open.
Maybe
we'll see a flashback. Who knows?
Okay. So.
One other thing I thought was very interesting was that so at this point there's the rabbit dog. I thought that was interesting that we have this video floating around that Walt made, basically saying that Hank did everything, right? And I think it's interesting that Skyler says she was disgusted by this video.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, it leaves things open for maybe some conspiracy theories within the, White household.
Did you notice the turned over DVD or CD on the dash of Saul's car?
I did, but what I could not tell what it was.
I don't know what it was.
Were you able?
No, it looked like it was flipped over. So I'm assuming, this is me just speculating, that Walt gave one of his confession DVDs to Saul, and then Saul had it in his car. I don't know. Or maybe it was a Journey CD or something, or an Aerosmith CD. Maybe Saul Goodman listens to Aerosmith and Jesse just didn't like it at that point in time.
Well, as long as it's, pre-1990 Aerosmith, it's probably okay. But yeah, I think you might be right. It might just be that same DVD. So I feel like that was shown for a purpose. It wasn't just there.
Yeah. So hopefully, we'll find out what was on the dash of Saul's car. Gomi and Hank are sitting down. They turn on the camera. Well, beforehand, Jesse said, there's no way a tape is going to put Mr. White away. This guy's smarter than you. It's not going to happen. And Hank's like, listen, this is the first step. So he sits down in front of the camera and he says, the first time that I met Mr. White was my junior year of high school. He was my teacher. And I thought that would have actually been a brilliant start to this whole new cycle. Season 5, episode 9, where you see Jesse sit down. You're like, whoa, okay. Or that'd have been a brilliant start to the entire season, season 5 last summer.
You know, actually, one of the things, so I was anticipating this scene because, you know, you have Jesse in front of the camera. And I'm thinking that he's going to say, you know, I met Mr. White at a meth bust when he saw me randomly or whatever. I didn't even think of him saying that, okay, I met him when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It just didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah. I thought he was going to go there, but then when he said teacher, you think to yourself, ooh, wow. And what a bad teacher he was. He led him to the dark side.
In many ways.
So he gives his confession to the camera, and this was a bit of an Ocean App moment. Gomi and Hank are talking to, well, throughout the episode, Hank listens to a couple of voice messages on Jesse's Hello Kitty telephone, and
yes.
Hank and Gomi confer, and they said, okay, Walt's going to be here. Jesse, we just need you to meet Walt, and we can figure something out. And maybe that's when Jesse goes through his whole thing. No, Mr. White's smarter. He's smarter. There's no way you're going to catch him like this. They convince Jesse to meet Walt. Gomi says he wants him dead. And Hank says, no. Look at all this evidence. He cares for Jesse. He saved Jesse's life. There's no way he will harm Jesse. And it appears that maybe Hank's right, maybe Gomi's right, because we don't know where Walt's mental state is right now. His wife just told him to kill Jesse.
Yeah.
So Jesse agrees to it. They put a wire on him. If you look at the scene when they initially put the mic on, you can tell there's a big bulge on his chest. So it did unpat a little bit, because as he walks towards the plaza, you don't see the bulge anymore. But Hank, come on, you gotta make that tighter.
You gotta be more professional. I think he was just too excited.
just like he was with Skylar a couple episodes ago, where he pulled out their cook. Come on, Hank, settle down, man. Be patient. So Jesse goes to the plaza. He sees Mr. White. We don't know what's going through Walt's brain. I should also point out that Jesse said Mr. White is also very lucky. As it turns out, Walt was not so lucky in this episode, because there's a menacing-looking bald man. Jesse thinks it's a hitman. He's like, no way. This guy's eyeing me down. He looks like trouble. I'm not going to talk to Mr. White. I'm going to talk to Mr. White on a payphone. So he calls him up, and he says, I'm not playing your game anymore. You're not telling me what to do. I'm going to come get you where you really live. And then the episode ends with Walt calling up Todd, asking his uncle for one more favor.
I think this is interesting, because now we already knew that Todd and his family are going to have a big impact going forward.
Yep.
And now that Walt's called him and is trying to make this arrangement, I mean, who knows what's going to happen now? I mean, there could be a change in regime. I don't know. Maybe Saul starts listening to Led Zeppelin now. You know, who knows?
But it would be in the best interest of Todd's uncle if they did get Jesse out of the picture. Because right now he's informing. He knows everything that goes on. He told Hank and Gomi about Drew Sharp. So now Todd, he's, you know, he's a suspect for murder. So it would be in the best interest of Uncle Jack to get rid of Jesse. Like I said, Jesse said Walt has been lucky so many times. Was not lucky in this episode because, as it turns out, he just wanted to talk with Jesse. And maybe if he had that chance, maybe if the bald-headed dad wasn't there, because as we saw, the daughter ran into his arms. If that guy wasn't there, maybe Walt could have convinced Jesse one more time. But he did not get that chance.
I also thought it was interesting that when Gomi mentioned that, you know, Walt's setting a trap, Hank is just, he's staying the course, right? He's saying, Pinkston gets killed, okay.
Yes!
Get it all on tape.
Yes!
And totally fine with it.
I forgot to talk about that, because the party I was watching with, big fans of Jesse. So when Hank said that, Hank became a bad guy in the room. He's like, oh, he's just a method. He's just, if he gets killed, at least we get Walt. I'm like, oh, no. Aren't you going to fall? Everyone falls in love with Jesse. Walt fell in love with Jesse. Mike and Gus fell in love with Jesse. Hank, you haven't done it yet? Maybe he needs another episode or two before he too falls in love with Jesse.
It's hard to say. I mean, part of me says, okay, he was just in the moment, and he thought he was right, and no matter what, he wanted to do it. And I don't know. Maybe he'll come around.
But Gomi.
Hard to say.
Gomi shows a little heart.
Gomi's always been the good guy.
Yeah.
So, I can never really fault that guy ever.
Because we were discussing in the room, we said, well, that kind of paints, you know, that kind of puts Hank in a bad light. And then Walt's obviously bad. Say what you will about Jesse. He's easily manipulated. He's trying to light a house on fire. It seems like everyone's a bad guy now. Skyler has broken bad. Maybe Gomi is the good guy in all of this. The dark horse good guy, we shall see. I wanted to ask you, Sid.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on this episode?
I thought it was a setup episode.
There
wasn't lots of twists and turns. It was more about just filling in the holes of what happened before.
Yep.
And just kind of leading to, okay, what is going to happen between Jesse and Walt? And is Hank involved at all whatsoever? So I think those questions have been answered. It took an hour to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have four more exciting episodes coming up. So, and it also brings together the whole, you know, Todd's family and how they're going to go back in touch with Walt and whatnot.
Yep.
So,
now, did you think that we would get the meeting in the plaza last night?
Things were going too well up until that point in terms of Hank's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought something was going to change for sure.
Now, did you even think we are going to get that scene?
I thought we would get like the setup of the scene like we did.
Okay.
But either you know Jesse's going to get killed, which I thought was kind of a low probability.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jesse just decided to do something else, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that made more sense. So I can't say it was predictable, but it was. I certainly knew it wasn't going to be like Jesse and Walt talk.
Right. Because when I watch Breaking Bad, I always watch the clock. And
yeah, exactly.
it was heading to a commercial break. Hank and Gomi said, all right, Jesse, you got to meet up with Walt. It's a public place. You should be safe. We got your back. There was 4 or 5 minutes left, and I thought to myself, there's no way we're going to even get this scene. Oh, man, you're just, it's going to be a cliffhanger. I was happy that we got the little meetup in the plaza. So to me, that was a little bonus. It was either a week or 2 weeks before when Hank was going to go face to face with Jesse in the interrogation room. I thought, oh, we're running it. Maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll get it. We didn't get it that week, but we did get the bonus this week. And I agree with you. It was a setup episode. It was a transition episode. Big holiday weekend. I thought they might go big since everybody would be around their TVs after bonfires and picnics. Or maybe they thought, you know what? Sid's going to be running late. the bonfires are going to be running late. Let's just hit them with a setup episode on Labor Day weekend. And that's what they did.
Yeah, and they I thought they gave a great spotlight to Marie and Skylar.
Yeah.
I mean, Skylar is just, she's so wrapped up in this new world that she's fine with anything now. Like, just kill Jesse.
Just get rid of him.
Okay. What does it even mean? You know, why else just do it? And then Marie is, maybe she's not going to follow through, but man, she is having some evil thoughts, that's for sure. So.
And, I'm going to go on the record and say this. Everybody knows I'm a big Breaking Bad fan. To fans, to people who just watch the show because they want to watch a good drama and they want to be part of the conversation, to those fans, I could see how this episode came off a bit hokey.
Yeah,
I can explain, too. I've got a bunch of examples here. Oh. When Walt goes up to the hotel... And she's like, hey, Skylar says, I saw you in the car with Saul. He's like, were you spying on me? She's like, yeah, I was spying on you. To me, that felt a little bit hokey. Hank going to the Hello Kitty phone, retrieving messages off of Jesse's cell. I don't know how easy that is. I would assume he doesn't have a password or anything since Saul just gave him the phone. But is it that easy to listen to someone's voicemails? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. With Saul's phones, you never know. It just might be a quick act.
And then when Jesse called Walt up at the payphone, do people know numbers anymore? Maybe he does. I mean, maybe, you know, he had to have Walt's phone number in his head, and he does work with chemicals and whatnot, so he is scientific, so maybe Walt's phone number is in his mental Rolodex, but if I had to call someone on a payphone, the only person I could call is my wife.
Well, I think in this case, it was believable, just because if you are running this empire, you probably want to know the phone number of the guy you're working with.
Right.
So I'll give him that one.
Okay. Jesse at Hank's, maybe a bit hokey with him, you know, sleeping on his face. And then Marie says, oh, do you want me to make you a coffee? Yeah. Do you want any cream or sugar? No. I'll warm up some lasagna. Now, to me, I can look past all this, but I'm just saying to the fans on the sidelines who aren't super hardcore fans, I could see how they would think this was hokey.
Well, my wife is one of these fans, right? So she's not a fan of the show in general.
She
actually says that it reminds her of The Wire.
Wow.
And that it's going to be a similar type of story or whatever. So, you know, she doesn't really watch the show, but I fill her in on what's going on, and she basically knows the whole story. But yesterday, she actually did watch this episode with me.
Okay.
And, she definitely had that same reaction, right? It's kind of a filler episode. It's got a lot of hokey stuff.
And then there's Saul in the Rodney Danger tracksuit, and he looks in the mirror, and he says, oh, I wonder if this is going to leave a scar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all those things were definitely hokey, as you say.
And then Walt, sorry, and I don't mean to bash. I'm just saying. It felt kind of forced on Walt's end. He said, "What's Jesse's friend's name? Beaver?" He's no, we checked with Badger and Skinny Pete, and they were talking about Babylon 5. So
I love that actually. I loved it because they had that scene. I think it was the episode before where Badger and his friend were talking about that amazing, you know, Star Wars or sorry, not Star Trek episode in their mind. I guess I forget what episode it was, but it was one of those episodes where Jesse's just spaced out and those two guys are just talking about this amazing Star Trek episode. And it was funny that Babylon 5 was brought up in this episode because it kind of reminds you of that whole craziness that occurred.
Well, there was a lot of speculation on the internet that whole Star Trek story was going to foreshadow the end of Breaking Bad. And I hope that doesn't happen. I just thought, you know, they were just riffing on Star Trek and Jesse was just so zoned out of it, he didn't care what the heck they were saying. But I guess, you know, we'll find out. There's only 4 weeks left. Did you have any favorite lines of this episode?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I did like Hank's line of saying, like, oh, Pinkman gets killed, okay, we'll get it all on tape. Like, he was just so nonchalant, you know?
Yep.
I think Jesse had a great one, like, he's the devil, just comes out and says it.
Yep.
That was another good one. Trying to think of other ones, but I think those are the biggest two for me.
These are my two. One was kind of hokey in this whole hokiness theme. I like when Saul said, I never should have let my dojo membership run out.
I forgot about that one. That's right.
But that's my second favorite line of the episode. My favorite line is when Saul is speaking about Jesse and he says, but you got to understand, deep down, he loves me.
That's true. That was actually all in the car. I remember that.
Yeah. And it is the truth because Jesse knows that Saul is a creep, but Saul doesn't hide it. Walt does.
Exactly. Saul doesn't hide anything. He's good at what he does. And that's why I think everyone loves it. Just even fans, right? I think fans really like that character because he's a jackass. He's sneaky and whatnot, but he lets you know he's sneaky.
So, yeah.
You kind of know what to expect from him. It's like, this is who I am, take it or leave it.
And in that field, no one is better than he. He's like the Sidney Crosby of shady lawyers.
Oh, man, you mentioned Sidney Crosby on a Breaking Bad podcast. I think that's that might be a two-minute penalty.
And then another question I had, at the end of the episode, Jesse said, you're not going to tell me what to do anymore, Mr. White. He's like, I'm going to get you where you really live. And I thought to myself, no, he really does live at the White House. And you almost burn it down. Like, that's where he lives. Now, what was he saying? Was he saying, I know I'm going to get you at the hotel you're staying at? Was he being metaphorical?
Metaphorical. I took it as being metaphorical. But I have no idea what he means.
Maybe.
If it's a metaphor, I don't know what he means.
Okay, let's speak of metaphors. Maybe since Mr. White is the devil, he lives in hell, and Jesse is going to go down deep into hell to get Mr. White.
No, this sounds like a South Park episode now. but yeah, it's hard to say. At first I was like, okay, does he want to get his family? Is that a metaphor for that? But I don't think Jesse wants to do that. He's not inherently a violent person.
No, so, he doesn't go after kids.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not going to do that. So what does it actually mean? Hard to say.
All right, and then finally, what do you think will happen next week? And just so you know, I'm never able to answer this question. Mark Lox is pretty good at it. Last week he brought up Old Yeller, and Old Yeller was mentioned this week.
Yeah, I don't know if I can top him on this one. What I see is I'm going to predict some sort of Skyler conspiracy. So something about Walt rubs her the wrong way at some point, to the point where she decides that, you know, this world is not worth it.
Wow. So she turns on Walt.
So she turns on Walt.
Interesting.
In terms of Jesse and what he wants to do, I really have no idea where that's going to go. It's hard to say. That metaphor that he says at the end, I don't even know what he means. But you can tell that Jesse definitely has a plan.
Okay.
The way he comes in back in the car when Hank tells him to come in and very comfortably says, okay, I know this is not how you get him. I know how to get him. Even Hank is dumbfounded, right? Hank doesn't even know what he means.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesse is definitely onto something.
Hank does. He's like, he just kind of talks him away, like he's just some dumb meth head. But he doesn't realize that Jesse has been side by side with Heisenberg this whole year. So Jesse is not just some dumb meth head. He came up with he came up with the train robbery.
Exactly.
And did he also come up with the magnet plan too?
He did.
Yeah. So Jesse.
I have to say that was one of my favorite episodes, by the way, the magnet one. I thought it was great when they were building those prototypes.
Yeah.
And Jesse is just so excited about his plan working. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, so Jesse has a good track record for coming up with successful plans. And then finally, a moment of non-hokiness that originally appeared hokey. When you have Jesse laying face down in Hank's house, you think to yourself, oh, come on, this is crazy. But I love the fact that they explain it away, because Hank says, listen, I can't put him in a safe house. I can't put him in jail. I can't put him anywhere because he'll be killed. This is the place where he will be most safe. And I thought to myself, beautiful. That explains why Jesse is now in Hank and Marie's house.
Oh, absolutely. I think they covered that completely. That was great. And he's right, right? It makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Walt killed 10 people within, what, a minute? 3 minutes? Whatever it was.
It was in two minutes.
Yeah, and they were in prison. So, I mean, you know, he's not going to take his chances on this one. Jesse's the only outlet that Hank really has, even for himself, let alone catching Walt.
And then my only hope for next week, and I don't care if it's hokey or not, I want to see Hank, Marie, and Jesse sit down for a dinner and see what happens. See what they talk about.
With lasagna.
With lasagna. Will it be microwave lasagna or homemade? We shall see.
And will that change Jesse's mood and fortune? All of a sudden, he spirals into something else.
I hate microwave lasagna, damn it! So, Sid, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, and real quick, before you go, do you have what will you do for the final episode? Do you know yet?
Let's see. What week is that going to be? That's going to be
It's
21st?
I think it's the last weekend of September.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good to know. I'll probably watch it for football, and then I'll change the channel to Breaking Bad.
Because okay. I know some people are talking about Breaking Bad parties. And
I
kind of want to, I'm like, no. Like, I want to pay attention to it. So if there's more than four people in the room, that's going to screw things up for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not doing any communal Breaking Bad kind of thing. That's for sure. Breaking Bad is an individualized experience.
But maybe afterwards, we'll talk about it over the phone.
Exactly. That's why we have podcasts.
All right, Sid. Well, have a dandy night and take care of that rabid dog.
I will. Thank you.
All right. For Siddharth Kumar, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Jens later.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.